Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour, and today is Friday, March 19th, 2021. That makes it the 78th day of the year. And as always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or in the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people and using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. Which, to my mind, is saying something, because I've been doing therapy for almost 47 years now, and these tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the red and white bullseye or the link in the upper left-hand corner of most pages that says Start Here, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. The book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work, which is the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using for over 16 years to improve the quality of my life, manage my emotions, and turn any negative emotional experience into a useful part of that infallible guidance system that we're all given. And we encourage people to do that soon and often. You can go to that website, read about it in Chapter 24 of Dr. Rice's book. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself, absolutely free. It's a PDF file. Click on it, download it, print it off, use it as often as you'd like. And then you can even go to your App Store, Google Play or the Apple App Store, and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. When you tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. If you do that, as we hope you do, soon and often, and it raises any questions as you try to use that tool or apply it in your life, we encourage you to call in with your comments or questions. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And if you call that number and press 1, it'll put a little question mark by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. And as I like to say, we appreciate when people do that because it makes it easier for us to live into our intention with this work. The intention with this work is to be of service. And if you are calling in letting us know what is the most relevant topic for today for you and or how we might assist you in using these tools more efficiently or effectively, that makes it easier for us to know we are being of service. We have the commitment for this year, we're 78 days into it, to read a Course in Miracles lesson each day from the Course in Miracles workbook. And since today is the 78th day of the year, our lesson is, Let Miracles Replace All Grievances. And the commentary is as follows. Perhaps it is not yet quite clear to you that each decision you make is one between a grievance and a miracle. Each grievance stands like a stark shield of hate in front of the miracle it would conceal. As you raise it up before your eyes, you will not see the miracle beyond it. Yet all the while, it waits for you in light. But you would choose to behold your grievances instead. Today we go beyond the grievances to look upon the miracle instead. We will reverse the way you see by not allowing sight to stop before it sees. We will not wait before the shield of hate, but we will lay it down and gently lift our eyes in silence to behold the offspring of creation. Creation waits for you behind your grievances, and as you lay them down, it will appear in shining light where each grievance stood before. Every grievance is a block to sight, and as it lifts you to see the offspring of creation right where it has always been, it stands in light, but you were in the dark. Each grievance made the darkness deeper, and you could not see. Today we will attempt to see offspring's creation, the creation of offspring. We will not see ourselves, will not let ourselves be blind to creation. We will not look upon our grievances. And so is the seeing of the world reversed. As we look out toward truth and away from fear, we will select one person you have used as a target for your grievances and lay the grievances aside and look at him or her. Someone perhaps you fear, perhaps you even hate, someone you think you love who angered you, someone you call a friend but whom you see as difficult at times or hard to please, demanding, irritating, or untrue to the ideal that you think he or she should accept as his, according to the role that you set for him or her. You know the one to choose. Their name has crossed your mind already. He or she will be the one whom we ask the creation's offspring be shown to you through seeing this person behind the grievances that you have held against him or her. You will learn that what lay hidden while you saw them not is the same truth that is there in everyone, and it can be seen. They who have been enemy is more friend when they are freed to take the role the Holy Spirit would assign to them. Let them be savior unto you today. Such is their role in creation's plan. Our longer practice periods today will see the other person in this role. You will attempt to hold them in your mind, first as you now consider them. You will review their faults, their difficulties that you have had with them, the pain you believe they have caused you, the neglect you believe they have perpetrated, and all the little and larger hurts you believe they have given you. You will regard their body and what you perceive as their flaws and their better points as well, and you will think of their mistakes and even their sins, in quotes. Let us then ask of the creation and to see this person in reality and truth, that we may look on this person in a different way and see our Savior shining in the light of true forgiveness given unto us. We ask this in the name of creation, in the name of the offspring of creation, as holy as himself. Let me behold my Savior in this one that you have appointed as the one for me to ask to lead me to the holy light in which he stands, that I may join with him or her. The body's eyes are closed, and as you ask of him who grieved you, as you ask and you think of him who grieved you, let your mind be shown the light of him beyond your grievances. What you've asked for cannot be denied. Your Savior has been waiting long for this. He or she would be free and make his freedom yours. The Holy Spirit leans from them to you, seeing no separation in the offspring of creation. And what you see through them will free you both. Be very quiet now and look upon your shining Savior. No dark grievances can obscure the sight that you have of him. You have allowed the Holy Spirit to express through them the role creation gave him that you might be saved. The Creator thanks you for these quiet times today in which you laid your images aside and looked upon the miracle of love that the Holy Spirit showed you in their place. The world and heaven join in thanking you, for not one thought of creation but must rejoice as you are saved, and all the world with you. We will remember this throughout the day and take the role assigned to us as part of creation's salvation plan and not our own plan. Temptation falls away when we allow each one we meet to be our Savior and to refuse to hide his or her light behind our grievances. To everyone we meet, to the ones we think of or remember from the past, allow the role of Savior to be given, that we may share it with him or her. For both of us, for all of us, and all the sightless ones as well, we ask, let miracles replace our grievances. And Pam Grout's book, A Course in Miracles Experiment, has a chapter titled, chapter 78, titled, Turning Mr. Hyde Back into Dr. Jekyll. She quotes Michelle Longo O'Donnell as saying, people show up in our lives as opportunities to reach out and love. In spite of what we see, there is fullness and glory. Our job is to call it forth, to strengthen it, to honor it, and to pray for it to rise. Pam writes, you may have heard about Dr. Hugh Len. He's a former psychologist assigned to a special ward at the Hawaiian State Hospital, a notorious clinic for the criminally insane. It was so bad that Hugh Len's predecessors left in despair, often in less than a month, after making zero inroads in the lives of the seriously disturbed, murderers, rapists, and, you know, the type of dates we hope not to encounter on, say, Tinder or Match.com. Hugh Len was different. He rarely left his office. In fact, not once did he meet with any of the inmates, preferring instead to retrieve their files one by one and practice the ancient Hawaiian art of Ho'oponopono. Basically, as he explains it, he was healing the part of himself that created such atrocities. It's pointless, he says, trying to heal others. All he can do is heal himself. Little by little, nurses started seeing changes. Inmates required less shackling and less drugs. Somebody began tending the gardens, repairing the tennis courts. The atmosphere changed so much that prisoners, one by one, were eventually released. After 4 years, Hawaii's clinic for the mentally insane was shuttered forever. Although Lesson 78, Let Miracles Replace All Grievances, doesn't actually prescribe Ho'oponopono, it reflects Hugh Len's belief that anything that happens to me is my responsibility. Anything I perceive, any person I don't like, is my creation, and thus my responsibility. 100%, no exceptions. It sounds crazy, but it worked for Hugh Len, and it's the only thing that can ever heal my life. I must first heal my perceptions. The world is a projection of my mind, and today's lesson asks me to choose just one lucky individual and use him or her to heal the planet. It asks me to turn a single Mr. Hyde back into a Dr. Jekyll. All it requires is saying these shockingly simple phrases from the Ho'oponopono lexicon: I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. So that's Pam Grout's take on lesson 78 from the Course in Miracles workbook. And we have 43 minutes left, and we have plenty of time to take your comments or questions and or answers and soliloquies. 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, I will announce you by your area code and we'll have a conversation. What's on your mind for today on this Friday, a little bit more than halfway through the month of March? We had our support group last night, and we had two different people do worksheets. And we did both the long version, the 7-step, and the short 5-step mental-emotional version. And we discussed the applications that essentially are very much like this lesson. Whenever I think I'm upset by anyone or anything outside of me, I've engaged in what Michael Rice calls a codependent relationship. And the only salvation for me in that process is to realize my 100% responsibility for creating my perception and my experience of that situation. While I do not create the person outside of me, and I do not cause or create their choices, their actions, their decisions, I do create my experience of them. And I do that with the thoughts that I choose about those interactions and experiences and how I choose to interpret and respond to those events. So the tools that are made available at whyagain.org are this very powerful, practical, directly applicable set of tools, and it's somewhat amazing to me, although I occasionally have somebody who says, you know, I did this worksheet and I just feel worse and I'm not sure this is the tool for me. And that occasionally happens, and it just reinforces for me that, you know, no two people are the same, and that's why it's such a blessing that there are so many different approaches and tools out there these days that are available through the internet and so readily accessible. At the same time, this set of tools that Dr. Michael Rice and Jeannie have assembled and made available to us are the most effective, efficient, powerful, accessible tools I've ever encountered. So there are very few people that I've introduced to these tools that haven't at some level or another gotten significant benefit from the tools when they choose to apply them in their lives. And when it happens that someone applies the tools and gets a less than positive response, or it stirs up even more agitation or upset in their life, I'm usually moved to suggest that they might be tapping into a level of trauma that would be best served by specific trauma work and the support of someone who's specifically trained in helping people resolve the effects of past trauma. I don't think I've ever had somebody who's had a fairly well-adjusted family life and no major history of mental health issues who has hit a brick wall with these tools. Most of the people that apply these tools at some level find a significant benefit. They may not choose to apply them on a regular basis in their life, but when they do, they see the benefit. And I think that's because it's so, that the set of tools is so, let's say, it stays so closely to the core truths that permeate pretty much every solid spiritual tradition that I've ever encountered. I remember reading Vasistha's Yoga, which is, I think it's 25 or 3,500 years before the time of Yeshua that writing was done. And so our caller number is 563-999-3581. What I was in the middle of saying before my mind just went blank was that the truths that infuse these tools, the reality management worksheet, the idea of using tools like the mind shifter targeted journaling to uncover my unconscious material, these truths have been known for thousands of years. They didn't start with Yeshua. They didn't start with the teachers that taught Yeshua. They've been around for thousands of years. And the good news is anybody can use them. The good news is when you use these tools consistently in your life, the actual process puts you in touch with your internal source of guidance. So you don't have to follow a guru, and you don't have to be led astray, and you don't have to wait for somebody else to be willing to teach you or show you. And that is why we are, all of us on this team, spending so much of our time, intelligence, money, and energy giving these tools away for free and supporting people in using them for free. I thought about it yesterday when I had a new patient have a first session, and as part of my introduction, I say, you know what, when I first started doing this work, and for the first 25 years or so, I used to think in a first session I had to tell people everything about my history of work and where I'd worked and the jobs I had and just read my curriculum vitae to them, right, and just my resume and all the points. And I say, these days I say, the good news is the longer I do this work, the shorter the summary of my work history is. Now I just say, you know what, I've been doing this work for almost 47 years, so if I don't know what I'm doing yet, I probably won't ever know. And if you can think of a place that a therapist or a psychologist has worked or been employed, I've probably worked in a situation like that. And as I said that, and I talked about how in June at the beginning of June, I will finish 47 years of doing therapy. got a panicked look on his face, and he said, wait a minute, are you trying to tell me that you're about to retire? And I thought, well, no, I'm not anywhere near retiring, and it's okay if I do, because all of these tools and a whole library, an audio library of tutorials on how to use them are available absolutely free. So this is something we haven't talked about that much. I haven't brought up that much in the past few months, and that is that there's an archive of these shows that have been done for the first 8 years. They were done 5 days a week, 1 hour a day, and now the last 2 years it's been 2 hours a day. But the archive is available. And this is one of the things that came up last night in the support group, was that someone was asking about, you know, how many times will I have to do worksheets on this issue or that issue, and, you know, what are the key factors related to my making good progress. And I was talking about, you know, willingness, and it dawned on me to talk about an incident that happened on the Internet show back in August of 2014. As a matter of fact, August 28th. It was August 27th that was the triggering incident, but then August 28th is when I got on the show and shared some of my processing for the deep upset that had been triggered in me. And the point of mentioning this is it's still there. You can still go to the archives for Mind Shifters Radio. Go to whyagain.org. And instead of clicking on the red and white bullseye, click on the microphone. Click on the picture of the microphone. And then scroll down and type in or click on the date 2014, and when that comes up, scroll down to, what did I just say, August, and click on August for 2014, and then scroll down to the 28th, and you can listen to this processing that went on and this interaction that went on between Dr. Michael Rice and myself, and others. If memory serves correctly, at that point in time, there was actually an intensive going on. So after I was done sharing my processing, some people who were actually in attendance at the intensive got on and shared some of their thoughts. And all of this just serves as this wonderful resource, teaching resource, clinical resource. As I keep saying, this is, I've never encountered anything like this that is just carte blanche free. And anybody you know can go to this whyagain.org website, don't even have to be put on a mailing list, click on these links, download this material, save it to your computer, you know, share it, listen to it again and again, read his chapter of his book. You can read the entire book from Dr. Michael Rice. I don't know anywhere else that a body of work that's this powerful and this effective and efficient is also this accessible. So if you're finding benefit from this, please consider sharing it with others. The benefit to us when people share this with others is that just means there's more people doing their own work, taking 100% responsibility for the realities they're creating, and that just makes our world a better place to live. So 563-999-3581. What's a question? How can we support you? What's a topic you'd like us to explore? I should also mention that I'm still looking for suggestions of people that we might interview. either for the Mind Shifters Radio, this blog, this podcast that we're on right now, or my affiliation with Journey's Dream, which is a not-for-profit that's trying to help change the narrative around mental health to one in which optimal health and well-being is possible and expected. And I'm this week we did an interview that was published with Dr. Pat Ogden, who is a pioneer in using sensory motor signals in working with people with trauma. And next Tuesday we'll be publishing the interview I did with Laura McGowan, who wrote the book We Are the Luckiest, The Surprising Magic of a Sober Life. And there's just two more that are recorded, and then I'm up against the wall. I need suggestions. I need introductions. And I'm looking for more people that may have touched your life, whether it's in a psychological manner or a spiritual manner. And or a book that you've read that was significantly powerful in changing the way you looked at yourself or your life or your relationships. We interviewed Guy Finley about his book, Relationship Magic, and that was one of our more popular interviews. So let us know. What's on your mind? What books have you read? What podcasts do you listen to that are positive and uplifting and positively influence your life? And or what questions do you have about anything we've talked about in the past 10 years? Or questions you might have about what actually happened on August 27th and 28th, 2014. So, it's all fair game. What would be of service to you? How can we support you? I'm in the process of listening again to the book We Are the Luckiest, The Surprising Magic of a Sober Life. And the more I listen to that book, fortunately for me, read by the author, the more it just validates for me how useful it is for me to refer people to that book, even with them not having any issues of addiction. Both the book Untamed by Glennon Doyle and the book We Are the Luckiest by Laura McGowan are powerful books that talk about the essence of the need for deeper and deeper self-honesty in any true healing process, in any true integration process. And these are two, in my opinion, beautifully written books by two very bright people who are sharing their own deep honesty and the journey that they had to take to be willing to be honest at that level, and what it costs them to be honest at that level, and what it pays. You know, basically the cost is a false cost. It's the ego's fear that is the only thing we have to lose when we get more and more honest. I've had the honor of working with a variety of people in the past couple of years who have chosen honesty, deeper and deeper honesty, and been amazed at the strength that they derive from that and the flexibility and the positive results they get. I remember one person in particular we had a conversation because her pattern had been to engage in rage on a regular basis. Righteous indignation is probably the term most would use, but she would call it rage. And I kept talking to her about how whenever she's raging, it means that she's allowing the fear to run her perception, and that her rage is coming from a false belief that she's not strong enough, that she's not safe. And I suggested that she might experiment the next time there's a potential with refusing to rage, just literally keeping her breath moving and refusing to open her mouth when her mind is urging her, maybe even her body is urging her to rage. And we talked about it for several sessions, and I still remember quite powerfully how she came in one day and said, you know, the weirdest thing happened. My primary trigger, the person who most often these days triggers me to upset, did the usual things that they do in our pattern. And I heard the words from our therapy session, and I chose to bite my tongue and not rage. And she said, I tapped into a strength I didn't even know was possible. She felt the more I stood there and refused to rage, the stronger I felt. And it gave me chills to be in the room with her as she said that. I could feel the energy shifting in her as she let herself realize the truth of that. Now, as soon as I say that, I want to add a caution. This is just one person's experience, and this was a person who had been choosing rage and overt, loud, very aggressive, very profanity-laced rage to be the way she would cope with her fear and her upset and her being triggered. And I know there are some people in the audience right now and people who might hear this in the future who have an opposite pattern. And their pattern might have been that in the face of an abusive pattern or a fear or a pain, to swallow it down and refuse to even say what would be useful to say. And so perhaps for them, a more healing, integrative approach would be to learn to speak up a little bit more assertively, or a lot more assertively, with more confidence, with more clarity, with more direct communication. It puts me in mind of Guy Finley, and he would talk about how it is so silly for us humans. We want answers given to us from the outside. We want masters, teachers, gurus. And he talks about how silly it is and how so many of us blindly follow teachers or gurus and try to mimic those human beings and their specific behaviors without having any awareness of why our teacher or our guru did what they did. And the example that he gave is that when he was young and on the spiritual journey, he realized that he had a real problem. It was extraordinarily difficult for him to stay quiet, to quit talking, to listen instead of talking. And so he actually chose to spend a significant amount of time wearing duct tape over his mouth just to be a very concrete reminder to him to keep his mouth shut and to keep his ears open. And he was just amazed at the number of people who saw him do that and then thought he was so smart and decided that they would wear duct tape without any, you know, without any discussion, without any understanding of what was going on for Guy Finley. And so imagine the person who has trouble speaking up, who is afraid of expressing themselves or sharing their opinion, and they go to follow a spiritual teacher who has trouble in the opposite direction, and they just start doing the same behavior. So they're wearing duct tape, and it's completely counterproductive. What they need to do to move forward in their personal growth is to learn to speak up, to speak out, and sometimes speak over others. So please, as you listen to any of the stories of other people, understand their path may not be your path, and the tools and techniques that they use to get results may or may not be the ones that are best for you. And please give yourself permission to explore and experiment and use whatever tools can give you increasing consistent access to your own inner guidance. Actively work with whatever set of tools you're using to ask to be shown inside yourself what's best for you in this moment, in this situation, given your history, given your strengths, given your foibles. And please question everything. Be skeptical. Question everything we suggest. Apply it in your life and watch. Be results-oriented. As you apply it, watch to see the results you're getting. If it's useful and beneficial, do more of it. If it's not working so well, pass it up. Try something else. There's no end to the series of teachers that are available. And as Guy Finley says, the Creator put you here in a world not where some teacher or guru is hidden off in the Himalayas, and if you search long enough and far enough, you might one day be lucky to stumble across him or her. But the Creator put you in this world where your instant, constant, direct connection to the wisdom that will teach you will never abandon you if you just ask to be taught. Wherever you are, in whatever moment, you have direct access to an inner guidance that with practice and with your willingness to trust it will be the best guidance you could possibly have. And Way of Mastery says it in a number of ways. One of the ways it says it is your life, what you think is your very ordinary life, is the perfect teaching school for you to be in. So you don't need to go looking. Well, we had somebody call the show not too long ago, and they were asking something, and you know, should I dig into my past for these traumas and how do I uncover that? And my response was, as always with this kind of thing, just pay attention to what's going on in your life today. Pay attention to the thoughts and emotions and reactions that are getting triggered in you from your very existence today. That's all you need to do worksheets on. Because if there's something that you're carrying in your energy system from an event in the past that landed in you as abusive, if that's happening, it's getting triggered by whatever's going on today. So look at your upset, look at your thoughts, look at the negative emotions those thoughts are creating, and do the work, whatever tool you choose to apply, whether it's Ho'oponopono or the Sedona Release Method or Michael Rice's worksheets, do that work on what's triggered in you today from what you think is happening in your life around you today. Remembering, as so many of these teachings bring us to, that we do not see the outside world. Our brain simply shows us its best guess about what's going on in the outside world. When electrical impulses that are generated by our senses that get triggered by either sights or sounds or physical sensations or smells or tastes, when those impressions reach the brain makes its best guess about what's going on in the world around it. But to be quite clear, the brain is locked away inside a bony cavity surrounded by fluid and then skin, and for those of us that are lucky enough, hair, and it does not have light reach it. It does not have touch reach it. It does not have sound reach it unimpeded. Just think about that for a minute. Your eyes are not, you aren't sitting in your brain like a little person looking out through the windows that we call eyes. Your brain is this central processing unit that just receives input, light waves that stimulate the nerves that sit in the back of your eyes, and those energies, impulses get transmitted through the optic nerve to the back of your brain where the occipital lobe is. And there's processing that goes on back there. But the science today tells us that the pictures my mind shows me pull maybe 80% of the information that goes into that picture from places other than my optic nerve. It goes to my memory. It goes to my emotional centers. It goes to my physical memory. And it uses all kinds of past experience and judgments and thought patterns to create the image that my brain shows me. And this is why it is so possible, and it's such a common experience for us as adult humans, to have been accused of something we never did, accused of saying something we never said, sometimes even being accused of being a place we never were. Because people are liars? No, because their brain showed them a picture of us saying or doing or being in that place. And they actually saw it as much as they see their hand when they looked and turned their hand over at the end of their arm. It shows up as a picture in their mind, and it's as real to them as anything that's actually in front of them. If you want a very nice demonstration of this in a lecture format, a TED format lecture, Anil Seth, A-N-I-L, his last name is Seth, S-E-T-H. If you just go to YouTube and you type in Anil Seth, A-N-I-L, second word, S-E-T-H, and then you type in, you know, perception or hallucinating perception, you can watch a lecture that integrates lots of good recent neuroscience that helps explain why it is so valid, so accurate to say that every one of us right now is hallucinating our perception. We're not actually seeing what's going on around us. We're making our best guess about what's going on around us. And that internal guidance system that I was talking about, that all of this work is about, to help us tap into and strengthen our connection to, its feedback system is centered around our emotional energy system. And it is most productive for us to recognize that any negative emotional state is best used as an alarm system to wake us up to the fact that we are misperceiving, we are distorting actuality whenever we have a negative emotion. And if I rewire my brain from what the culture teaches me to get angry and scan the outside environment and look, actively looking for who outside of me I need to attack or run away from or seduce or bribe so I don't have to feel this alarm system going off. And if I retrain myself, instead of scanning the external environment when I have a negative emotional state, I turn and I breathe and I scan the internal environment and I ask myself, okay, Tim, how are you creating this negative emotion? And or ask myself, hey, Tim, what are you making this current situation mean? What's the meaning you're giving this perception that's arising? Most of the time when I do that, my upset decreases, and I start seeing a variety of different potential interpretations for the outside events. And then I'm free to use a tool like Ho'oponopono or the Sedona Release Method or Byron Katie's Four Questions or Michael Rice's Reality Management Worksheet and dismantle that 60 to 80% of the input that's coming from my past and coming from my past experiences and my belief systems and my emotionally implicit knowings that are based on my past experiences and traumas. And then watch the magic. Watch how the world seems to change right in front of my eyes. And as it does, it opens up to me a whole host of different responses. And the vast majority of those different responses gain me a better, more loving, more productive result than the anger or fear or hurt or confusion or tension that I was generating just moments before. So we are grateful for you listening, and we're even more grateful when you choose to pick up the tools and apply them in your life. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. I just looked up and realized there's only 6 minutes left. So time for a question or time for a topic suggestion. Certainly time for you to make a suggestion about someone I should interview. And or you can send me an email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. Alternatively, you can email Jeannie at jeannie@yagain.org. And let us know, what's your comment, what's your question, who do you think we should interview, how can we expand our work to be more useful to you? And I will just recommend, I mean, there is just so much that's in those archives of the past 10 years, but we did last night stumble in our conversation across the episodes that happened on August 27th and 28th of 2014, and those are in the archives and they're available. They aren't labeled except for the date. It doesn't say, you know, Dr. Tim got triggered and Dr. Tim processes on the 28th. I got triggered on the 27th. We did some processing on the 28th. But they're there. And it's just the tip of the iceberg of the tutorials and the support and the training that's available in how to use these tools and how to question every conclusion you have that leads you to feel a negative emotion. And the more you do that, I believe that just because it's been my experience and with so many other people I've observed, your life will get better. The more you learn to live in the question, and beyond that, the more you apply these kinds of tools, the more you unravel the false belief system that creates your anger, your fear, your hurt, your sadness, your guilt, your shame, and the more, essentially, you get to live in this world without being of the world. It's another way to interpret that phrase. I can be in this world and I can watch the training of my family and my culture that leads me to interpret what's going on around me through my senses. And I can feel that negative emotion arise in me and catch it early, take a breath, choose to turn the focus inside, apply the tool, and lo and behold, my perception changes. My belief that I needed to generate this negative emotion dissolves. And what's left in its place is an entirely different perceptual output from my mind, which, by the way, instantly opens up a whole host of, you know, this panoply of different responses that instantly become every bit as viable, every bit as seemingly intelligent as the rage or the attack or the pull away and isolate behavior that seemed like my only choice just moments before. So every little bit I can do to train myself to the fact that when I have a negative emotional state, it means I've engaged in a distorted thought process that in itself is going to distort my perception and keep me from having access to the highest and best input. So especially if it's a truly important situation, I'd want the highest and best perceptual input in order to keep my friends and my family and fellow human beings safe. So I so often get, when we start talking about this, statements from people or questions from them about saying, well, you're not saying that I should just let this person walk all over me or, you know, hit me with a bat or whatever. And I say, no, we're not talking about that. I don't know how you got from what I'm talking about to that assumption. But we're talking about having the highest and best perceptual input that then feeds the most accurate, loving, potentially safe and nurturing actions in my life. So I thank you all for listening. We have another hour coming up with Michael and Jeannie. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Good conversation. And anytime anybody runs across, you know, now I take notes just about every show, but anytime you run across one that you've listened to and I don't have a note about it, please drop me a line to jeannie@yagain.org and kind of give me a synopsis of what that show was about and what date and everything, and I'll add it to the notes. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I should probably do that with August 27th and 28th of 2014. They
okay,
don't have
I just made
on.
A note of that. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Have a wonderful show and a great weekend.
Thanks. Thank you. You too. You too. Welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. And today is Friday, March the 19th, 2021. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. While we're waiting on Michael to get dialed in, I will just say that, you know, we've had one day with Susan and one day with Cecilia and 2 days with Doug, and all of those shows have now been put into the special MP3s, and so you can go back and just listen to those segments of the shows, and they are awesome about relationships and power person dynamics and the behaviors that seem to run our lives and interfere with pure relationships and give us opportunities to heal. So those are special shows, and they are all out there now, just the segment cut out of the hour that we were discussing. So welcome, Michael.
Well, thanks to your heart, and welcome, everybody. We've had a pretty interesting 3 days of conversation, just some really sweet places reached. I'm excited about them. In fact, there's a group that a friend of mine does called Marriage Healing, and I'm going to suggest that he put those shows on Facebook. There's some really good interaction and dialogue around the idea of how we create our lives and how we create our relationships. So thank you, everybody, for being here to be part of the conversation. And I'm going to go ahead and just do a paragraph. We've missed a couple days with the intensity of conversation from the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? So I'll do that, and then we'll open the lines and see if anybody has, from the intensive, has an explanation for us of the picture that I posted in the WhatsApp page. We had 3 days ago, I had a plan to present, and I did my plan in terms of a visual drawing. And then when we decided that we'd post it for the intensive participants, it relates directly to what we're doing in the intensive. So we posted the picture in the private WhatsApp page for everybody in the intensive to look at. And I invited everybody to come on the show and share what the picture meant to them. What is the picture saying? And the person who gets closest to the correct or the accurate interpretation of the picture, we're going to give them it's kind of, you know, a contest we created. First time we've done that. We're going to give them a copy of Aramaicisms, the video where for 4 hours Dale Allen Hoffman and I spoke about restoring the original Aramaic concepts to our language. So anyway, if you are following us along in the book, we're in the chapter on what is projection and externalization, and we're on page 47. And on the second paragraph on page 47, we have been talking to Richard about how projection works, how, you know, the culture teaches that projection is taking something that's inside of you and putting it outside of you, and pointing out that that's not projection at all. Projection is when brain cells, when we have content in our mind that are resonated into activity, and that content forms the pictures that we think we see with our eyes. We've never seen anything through our eyes. The eye is a one-way valve. Information comes in. You can't see out of it. It's not a glass. It's not a window. It's impossible to see with your eyes. Silly concept when you start looking at it scientifically. I think you've got this piece of glass that you see out of, or these lenses that you see out of. No, the lenses focalize light energy that comes in, hits the retina, creates an electrical frequency, causes brain cells to fire. Brain cells firing produce the world of perception. So content of brain cells produces a picture in the mind, converts digital energy into a picture. And so the pictures we see are projections, always projections. of the content of brain cells. And then when we pretend that those are really true about somebody outside of us, they're true about somebody other than us, it's a really important point to get that everything that shows up in your mind, everything that shows up as a picture, always tells you more about the source of the picture. And the source of the picture is that person out there. The source of the picture is your own brain cells. So it always tells you about content of your mind. Great piece of learning, like a huge piece of learning to really understand that. When your brain produces a picture that shows somebody doing this terrible, awful thing, and you're all upset about what they've done, recognize that you're upset and the terrible, awful thing are about you, not about somebody else. So we've been talking about that projection externalization and recognizing that we can't change somebody else. The only thing I can change is my own reality. And the only I can initiate and carry out the process of changing what's happening in my mind. Our whole culture is living in this projection, kind of akin to the Matrix. So it takes a lot of energy, I've just pointed out to Richard, to keep the lie of projection in place and prevent the truth from entering awareness. Richard says back to me, "Well, put that way, Michael, I can see that the conflict is my own thinking. I'm trying to achieve an unreachable goal, and I get so frustrated, I exhaust myself. That is so obvious now, and I see what's been zapping my energy," he reflected. A friend who's a medical doctor recently told me the most common complaint he hears is about a lack of energy. He called it chronic fatigue. I'm starting to understand the source of my tiredness. It's like I've been carrying a one-ton weight in my shoulders. Richard's tendency to run from conflict provide an example for us to examine the dynamics of projection in his life. I explained, in a relationship based on projection, each believes the other is responsible for the output of his or her mind and carries their hidden, unhealed upsets as a burden. As a result, each mind has a distorted picture of what is actually happening. This distortion results from blockage of truth. The mind projects its own errors onto others and cannot see its truth about itself. So again, when we live in denial, what is denial? That's the act of thinking or speaking as though something outside of us is the cause of what's moving inside of us. When we live in denial, we literally dissociate from the content of our own minds. That is, we hide from ourselves what it is that we don't want to own, what we don't want to look at. Then, when someone triggers what we've dissociated from, we use that very data to produce our brain's images, our brain's picture, literally the world we see. And that mind runs around raging and screaming at everybody else, sure that there's a problem in my life. No idea. No idea that it's all done with smoke and mirrors, that it's all an inside job. So the idea of this work is to recognize that and turn the game around. So here we are working to turn the game around. And I hope that especially the last few days have been really meaningful to you in recognizing the dynamics that happen in relationships and changing the game. So Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody out there with a hand up in the phone queue or a note in the chat room from anybody who wants to share with us from the intensive their interpretation of the picture that I drew and posted?
We do have a hand up. Area
oh, great.
Code
Let's say hello.
520. Well, I guess if I unmuted, hand up, and it's area code 520. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is
how are you, young lady?
I am.
All right.
I'd like to not share on the picture. I want to share about something I'm carrying around.
Okay.
When I was in my mid-60s, my background, I've come from a lot of sexual, emotional, verbal abuse. And yesterday on the support group, Dr. Kim and I were working on the worksheet sheet. And then during the evening, I was experiencing physical symptoms.
Right.
And then...
Wonderful.
Yeah, it wasn't fun going through it, but I guess
no,
it was.
No, it's not fun, but it's wonderful.
But then this morning, I had this thought of remembering when I was in my mid-60s, my mother said to me, "You are an embarrassment to me."
Mm.
And then from all the baggage of experiences in my childhood about all kinds of abuses, one of which was being tied up in the cellar with rope. Probably the average person could even imagine that.
No.
Locked
no,
in the closet. It was pretty horrendous. But so I have internalized, I am not okay. The belief system I read about that the baby is innocent. I listen to various self-help groups, and I talk about it. But when I actually, in my world, I don't think the world is safe.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Now, explain to me about the projection. I mean, so the projection is, I'm not okay. How could somebody who is your parent say, you're embarrassment to me?
Let me tell you how. They have a reality in their minds, a construct called embarrassment. You trigger that reality in them, and any one of a thousand different ways you can trigger it for them, and they use that content called embarrassment in them to build their brain's image of you. And they actually believe that you're the source of their embarrassment. They have no idea. I mean, that's exactly what we've been talking about in this particular lesson. They have no idea that they carry embarrassment around, but they, whenever it's triggered, I mean, they might put it into their brain's image of each other, of you as their child, of the neighbor. I mean, people become embarrassed about talking about God. Any object of attention will do if I'm in denial and I can't own my own embarrassment.
Point out, I know the work, doing the work is doing the worksheet. But as
right.
I heal, so far as heal the distorted thought system, does the onion get peeled with each worksheet?
Yes, the lotus blossom opens. Each worksheet, remember that... We're talking here about a structure made of thought disorders. Thought piled on thought, piled on thought, piled on thought. And it's literally, actually this is an analogy that came to me a few weeks ago when I was doing a particular piece of work of my own. You might have been on the show. I was talking about a time when my mother had shared with me that my uncle was present. I was a small child, and I guess I was being, you know, terrible twos kind of small child, cranky or whatever. And my uncle really became enraged and goaded my mother. I was small enough, my mother was giving me a bath in the sink. She told me about this several years ago, something that she really was hurting over that she had done to me in the process and work that we had done. So she's bathing me in a bathtub, and I'm being cranky or whatever, and my uncle kind of goes berserk and forces her verbally, emotionally, to push my head under the water and hold me there. So I had known about that. My mother had intellectually told me about that, but I'd never processed that. And she told me about that 30 years ago or more. But about 3 weeks ago, maybe it's a little longer than that, maybe it's 5 weeks ago, if you go back to the show, I was talking about it, I went back and re-experienced that memory from the point of view of the moment when it happened. I could hear my uncle's voice. I could hear the derogatory things he was saying about me. And it was as though the analogy that came to me when I was talking about it on the radio show, it was as though I was going into my own structure and picking out fish bones. You know, if you sit down to a fish dinner and you're picking out fish bones, well, one by one, I was picking out these thoughts. At that moment, I realized that my uncle, his name was Pat, was my power person, and that he had fed these derogatory thoughts about me. And, you know, I'm less than 2 years of age, so, you know, I'm buying it. So here I am now, decades later, and just like picking out fish bones, I'm going in and pulling those thoughts out and throwing them away. No, that's not true about me, Uncle Pat. It may be true about you, but it's not true about me. And that was my process of cleaning that out. And it was just like, you know how when you've got a fish meal and those bones, you have to find them. They're so thin you can hardly see them. They're almost transparent. You have to reach in and pull. Well, that's exactly what I was doing with those thought disorders in my own mind. And ultimately, around this idea of your mother's projection of embarrassment, you'll get to the point in your process where you'll be able to pick disorders that were fed to you and remove them. And realize that what was said about you was not the truth. It was just a projection from that power person. So in that experience, I was able to say to my Uncle Pat, that is not true about me. I am not. And thought by thought by thought that I could hear him speaking, I was able to forgive. I was able to release.
So did you actually, in your mind, talk to your uncle?
Yes. That's exactly what I did. Actually, no, I didn't talk to him in my mind. I talked to him out loud. I talked to him verbally. No, that's not true about me. I refuse that thought. That thought is not true about me. And I release that thought.
So when if I'm talking, whether verbally or in the mind, because in my reality, thoughts are things. Okay,
yes.
So it is it's a vibration, it is a frequency.
Yep.
So,
and I'm throwing them out.
The higher frequency engulfs the lower frequency, and then that is dissolved.
Dissolves
disorder
it. Exactly.
Is dissolved. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's forgiveness.
Okay. Yes. And it's all an inside job.
100%. Now, I may choose, you know, as with my uncle. I could see his weakness. I mean, he's a man who lived to the day of his death. He lived in rage. And I could hold compassion for him and pardon him for what he had done. And in so doing, open the space for forgiveness within me to remove the thought disorders that I had bought into from him.
So when you say you pardon him, expand on what you just said in a different way. Please expand.
Well, in that situation, I could see myself, I would be in the space. You know, if I were, it's not something that I did in this experience, but if I were to go to that extent, if I were to do that part of it, I would then speak to my uncle and say, so Pat, I can see that you're a man who lives in a lot of pain and a lot of rage, and here you are raging, you know, just viciously at a two-year-old and a two-year-old's mother, intimidating her. And I can see that you were just plain crazy. And I have compassion for you. I hold the space for you to heal, and I let you off the hook for that. I'll free myself of all judgment of you around that, and I'm letting that one go. So that would be my act of pardoning. Then my act of forgiveness is going in and picking out the fish bones, literally picking out each thought disorder and throwing it out of my structure.
Thank you. Thank you for that explanation. Yes. As I continue to do my inner work. Thank you. Blessing.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. And have you read my response to you this morning in the WhatsApp posting?
Cool.
On for,
yes,
the codependent? Oh, good. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
so it's perfect. You know, I'm delighted for you. I'm glad you were in pain. I'm so happy for you, because I know that in that space of pain was the presence of love, and the pain was a result of dissolving what didn't belong. And that's a necessary part of the healing process, although, as you said, it's not Dr. Feelgood.
Well, I have been tuning in to the radio station probably since November, and every Tuesday I have been with this minister, retired neurologist, and I've been with him for about 7-8 years, and we've been doing work. And just this past week, he said, Audrey, I have something to say to you. And I sat in the chair and I went to myself inside me. I go, oh no, now what? And he said, Audrey, I have to commend you. He said, lately you are just zooming along. And I attribute this to the inner work that I'm doing along with his work.
That's what it takes. So honored and delighted to be supporting you, young lady, and I acknowledge the work you've been doing, too. It's awesome
to
watch you. The integrity of your process is fabulous.
Thank you. Blessings.
All right. Well, do you want to say, you know, in the intensive the other night, you tuned into the picture and shared a little bit. Do you want to share a little bit about that with our audience, and we'll see what anybody else has got to say about it?
Well, to me, when I saw the antenna, that is the divine source of energy. That is the field of the oneness. It's a formless love. Love is formless. Love is infinite. Love is with everything. Love makes everything grow. And as I allow and am willing to open the gate up and allow this love to engulf me and enfold me, it purifies all the discordant thoughts that are in me as I allow the process to work, because love is love, and it will just transform everything. And this love goes from source energy, and it is in me, it's in everything else, and it goes through me out to every living sentient being that I come in contact with, because we are all love, and love creates love. And that's it.
I'm with you 100%. I'm with you on that. All right. By the way, a thought, you might want to share the worksheets with your pastor neurologist friend and invite him to join us. You know, have him take a look at it. Yeah, you know, if he's acknowledged you for your movement forward, say, well, here's how I'm doing it. Here's the tool. And he'd certainly be welcome to take the tool and use it in what he's doing if he sees benefit in it. And we'd be glad to support him in it.
Yes. Thank you.
Fabulous. All right, young lady. Delight to be playing with you.
Thank you all. Namaste.
All right. Namaste. That word namaste, because you can adapt it just slightly and it becomes have a nice day. So there we are. So Miss Jeannie, anybody else out there in the phone queue with a hand up? I'm hoping we're going to have some responses to this picture that we put in the Facebook group by people in the codependence, the interdependence communication intensive.
There's no other hands up and no comment in the chat room.
Huh. So nobody's got a thought for us on the picture posted in Facebook and in our codependence intensive. Well, I thought I'd get more bites on it than that. So, oh well, I guess we're complete with it then. I know that Nene had a little bit to share about it from the in the intensive. Is Nene with us today? Nene, if you will share
seeing,
with us.
I'm not seeing her number. I know she put some comments in our Facebook.
Right.
Codependence page as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me go ahead and share the visual that I created that I'm talking about, the picture that we put in the WhatsApp, the codependence intensive private WhatsApp page. So what I have in front of me in the picture we're talking about actually has three different elements in it. I'll explain them to you, and then I'll go ahead and explain in depth what each of them means. Is I have a picture of, at the center of the page, what is obviously a TV antenna, and wires running to a TV screen. And then I have a reflection of the antenna itself above the antenna that I've drawn, and so that's the center point of the picture. And then on the left-hand side, I have a picture of a wine glass with lines radiating out from it, indicating that it's vibrating. And I have a stick figure of a person whose voice is hitting the wine glass and causing that glass to vibrate. So that's over on the left-hand side of the picture. And then on the right-hand side of the picture, I've got a circle with a couple of lines on it and the word you. So for anybody, before I go into the explanation of it, anybody else from the intensive want to share with us?
We have a hand up.
Oh, great. Let's go for it.
I think this is Magda, 828. You're on the air.
Hi. I apologize. I am not calling about the picture. I had a difficult time reading the words. And I was hoping that you would redraw it so that I could see it more clearly.
Okay.
So if you want to go ahead with your explanation.
Yeah. The words, actually, you can totally ignore the words. It's the picture that's important.
Oh.
So ignore the words, but just looking at the picture, what's your take on it? What would the explanation of it be? That's what I was really looking for.
I don't have it in front of me right now. From my memory, however, the antenna reminded me of setting a trap for God and that there's only one way for us to have to receive the divine love that God is. And there's only one channel. Well, actually, channel is love. And if we're on the right channel, we will receive it. And when we let our fear or hostility be in control of our perception, then we're not on the right channel. I didn't really think about the wine glass. I didn't realize that's what it was. So,
are you denigrating my art?
No, it's my little screen on my phone.
I'm offended by that. Okay, I'll do a worksheet.
Good, because I don't think I could offend you, Michael. You know that's
cool.
Impossible.
Okay. Well, if you remember, you're right on track with your description of the picture, and the TV said it's meant to be the reflection or the expression, and that only one, you know, resonant frequency can enter into that antenna and reflect through that mm-hmm. television set. The two other components are that I was communicating about resonance and the idea of the stick figure with the wine glass vibrating is, of course, we all heard about the opera singer, that when they hit the right note, it causes the wine glass to shatter. And, you know, we can have a million different opera singers come in that are all wonderful singers, but it's only the one that can hit the right frequency that matches what the glass needs in order to take on that energy. And so mm-hmm. the idea there was that the resonance causes that transfer to happen, and there's got to be a proper resonance as the two antenna, one reflecting to the other, the upper antenna reflecting the creator, and that our antenna has to come into alignment to receive that energy, resonance, mm-hmm. to reflect it into our world. And then when you go back and take another look at it, where I have the circle on the right-hand side of the page, I was thinking in terms of the cranial structure of the head. That's actually a picture of a head. And the sutures, some work I was doing with Jeannie recently, we were doing some still point breathing and energy field work. And Jeannie got to the point where she could feel each of the bones of her cranium floating and moving.
Wow.
And if you remember in the energy field work, when we train people at Heartland in the energy field work, the hands-on work, what we're doing is we're opening and giving that antenna the opportunity to realign itself so that it does become the receiver it's designed to. If, you know, a lot of people think when the baby's soft spot hardens that the head is fixed, but actually the bones of the head, the spine, the pelvis, the arms, the legs are actually in continuous motion. They're a continuously self-adjusting antenna system receiving a range of frequencies. And if that antenna is either physically or emotionally traumatized, then it interrupts the range of motion of the antenna, and there are certain energetic patterns that we don't receive. And mm-hmm. you know, the whole idea of the training in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive, where we do the hands-on energy field work, is to train people to help the antenna to get back to its full range of motion and proper alignment. So all three pictures are talking about resonance, and the equivalent of the TV antenna is literally the bony structure of the head, the spine, and the pelvis that, when aligned properly, when going through their proper range of motion, bring in the frequencies that we need in order to function fully out of love. Otherwise,
wow.
When distorted, we're not being fed. Like, you know, let's say the doctor goes in and says, oh, we have a problem with a person's liver. Their liver is not working properly. The liver may be perfectly healthy, but let's say, and I'm not saying this is exactly what it is, because as far as I know, nobody's ever tracked it, but let's say that the bones moving through a proper range of motion in the upper left-hand side of the head, which would be what we call the parietal bone, that movement and its right shape is what brings the frequency in that feeds the liver. And let's say, you know, that kid was 4 years old, fell off a bicycle right on the parietal bone and jammed it up and locked it out. And all of a sudden, at the age of four, the child started to have a liver problem. Had nothing to do with the liver. Had to do with the antennas now restricted, and the liver's not getting the energy supply that it needs.
Right.
And so the whole idea of doing that hands-on energy field work is to help the whole antenna to realign so that every cell gets fed what it needs. And it's literally an antenna, and it works via resonance, just like the wine glass that shatters when the opera singer hits the right note. So that's what ties all of those three pictures together.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
Now I don't need for you to redraw it.
There you go. You can go back and take a look.
I will.
And just like the opera singer, only the opera singer that can hit the right note, one out of a million, shatters the glass. Only the antenna that matches the frequencies that radiate directly from the creator receive the frequencies accurately and get to express them through our physiological expression, which is represented by the TV. Only when the bones of the structure, which are literally our antenna, are moving properly in the line do we get a full expression of love that we're designed to have. And what inspired it was a conversation I had with Jeannie after she came out of this session, where she was like, and maybe Jeannie, you want to say some more about that, what was going on with your cranium as we did that energy field work?
It was really an experience, because I was actually like tapping the sutures where the bones in the head connect or whatever. I was tapping at each of those points, and it was just, after a while, it just felt like my skull actually came up. Well, it's noisy when you're in. Came apart in bits and pieces and was just like floating above my brain, and I could feel it moving. It's really hard to explain that, because there's no words for that. But it was definitely an awesome opening. And then there was other parts of my body started like popping and cracking and adjusting and getting back into place.
Yeah, pretty awesome. And then let me add an additional piece to the puzzle. And the idea, you know, I mean, Jeannie's been doing energy field work and still point breathing, you know, for, 17 years now, honey? And this was the first time that she'd gotten that full-blown experience of those bones moving, I mean, literally filling float. And you'll recall that a couple of weeks ago, I was in Florida visiting with Dr. John Lawrence, chiropractor, who's doing all kinds of different amazing stuff, and he's looking at expanding his office and taking our work in. I was doing some training with some of his people around the forgiveness work, and he wants to integrate that into his practice. And so when I went down, you know, he does all kinds of different modalities, so he did all his, a bunch of his different procedures on me, as I was doing a number of the different procedures that I do with him. You know, he's been involved in the work for some 25 years. And one of the things that John does is called NCR. It's called basal cranial release, which is a way, and you've seen me, I think, maybe manga once or twice. I actually very rarely do this. But I think you've maybe been there at Heartland when I've put my finger in someone's mouth and adjusted their antenna from the inside of the mouth. Well, actually, just before Jeannie started to feel this floating thing, I was inside her mouth adjusting the inside to support it in moving. Well, Dr. John takes the whole thing to another level with this thing called NCR. And what he does, and he had done that on me when I was in Florida, is he takes a balloon, small balloon, inserts it inside of your nose, has an inflator on it, and inflates the balloon. And you hear all this crack, 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 crack as the bones, you know, and I'm talking about all the fine bones tight up there in your sinuses, release. I mean, it literally feels like, or sounds like, and feels like, a mountain coming down inside your head as it starts to move. But it's another way of reaching into the antenna and moving it. And my experience, and it's the first time in my life that I'd experienced, and I've done a lot. I've done NCR for years. I started doing that, probably, 20 years ago. and of course the energy field work and, you know, everything I could ever find. But I never had that sensation of my cranial bones floating. And when Dr. John, I was doing some still point breathing, and Dr. John did the NCR on me, I got that floating experience of my, like my whole cranial structure is removing, restructuring itself, whole new level of it. Came home, put my hands on Jeannie, did some energy field work on her, and, you know, there it is. She's gone, goes that experience immediately. That, you know, to me, which is just a verification, you know, when the Course in Miracles says when you're healed, you're never healed alone. And it took me 20 years specifically, well, longer than that, because I've been teaching the energy field work, developing and teaching the energy field work for close to 50 years. And I got to the place where I could feel those, literally each of the bones in my cranium floating. 2 weeks later, Jeannie got the same experience. Remember the story we talk about in the scriptures about the farmer that goes out of the square and hires two workers and brings them into the field? And then at noon, he goes and gets more workers and brings them into the field. And at 3 o'clock, he gets more workers. And when the workers are ready to sign out at 5, he pays them all the same. And the guy who went in at 8 in the morning complains. It's like, wait a minute. How come he gets the same thing as I do? He didn't come into the field until 3 o'clock. I've been working in the hot sun all day. And it's interesting. The farmer says, what? I decide to be generous, and you're going to use that as a reason why you're going to complain? But for me, that's the power of when we're healed, we're never healed alone. And, you know, there, you've heard me speak many times about the early adopters and that energetically, we get to be empowered to pass the end result of what in cases is decades of work onto someone else in a New York minute. And it's just awesome. So it was pretty sweet to be with Jeannie as she was going through that, moving on that level. So thank you for your input, Magdalena. Anything else exciting happening in your world?
Uh-huh, yes. I was wondering if you could hear me. That's fabulous information. I hope you can be sharing that on Wednesday, the group, really. Yes,
okay,
there
I'll
is
do
something
it.
Else. Good, good. well, you could probably just play what you just did. Or maybe you want to redo it. Anyway, I do have something else. Let's see. On Tuesday evening, I was, it was Tuesday evening. Anyway, I was doing a sleep study, which meant I had to go to the clinic, get all wired up, and sleep overnight.
Right.
And I think you may remember that I have a lot of anxiety around medical procedures and medicine and so forth. And I
right.
found that I was having a difficult time sleeping up to a week before I was having disturbed sleep. And, of course, it was because I was worried that I wouldn't be able to sleep Tuesday night and then the study wouldn't
right.
work and all that. I worried myself so I wouldn't sleep. And so I did worksheets around all of that. And on Tuesday, it was suggested that perhaps I would need a sleep aid, which is a sleeping pill. And I decided, yeah, I probably should do that. So the doc gave me a very powerful one pill for that night. Excuse me. And I chatted with the clinician who was putting on all the wires, and he said, oh, yeah, you will sleep soundly with this. It will put you out. And I was, oh, okay, good. Well, then as I tucked into bed, I began to worry about what else that medication might do to me, and because all medications have side effects. And so I was worried about that and blah, blah, blah. I did a couple of worksheets before I closed my eyes, and they were around trusting that everything that was supposed to happen was going to happen, that I didn't need to try to control it or worry about it. I was guided and protected, and everything would be perfect, whatever perfect meant in this situation. And so then I closed my eyes, and here's the weird thing that I want to ask you about. I knew I had a lot of tension, a lot of anxiety, and I often find that I hold my tension in my arms. They're very tight. The muscles are tight. So as I was laying there waiting to fall asleep, I could feel the tension in my arms first increase a great deal, and to the point where I just needed to shake my arms under the covers. And then I reminded myself, this is pretty interesting. I can I can feel it, and I know it's just tension. I know it's just my anxiety, and I know that I'm safe. I know that I'm guided and protected. So that was kind of like the first time, I believe, that I've ever had that. What do you often say, the thinker apart from the thoughts, the...
Right, the feeler apart from the feelings. Yep.
Yeah. So is that what it was? I was
sounds
hoping
exactly
that's what it was.
Like that. And it sounds like you're getting the benefit of the training you've been doing of your carbon-based memory system. So here, your carbon-based memory is feeding you some anxiety. And then, because you've trained it to support you in healing, it's now feeding you support for, and I know I'm protected, so it's okay. And I can start to let go of that stuff. I mean, how perfect is that?
Wow.
That's the fruit of your work.
Wow. It was something very, very different. And, of course, I now wonder, oh, was that the medication? Was I just high and I was starting to feel weird things in my body?
Those were specific thoughts. Medication does not produce specific thoughts. Either the good, the bad, and the ugly. The thoughts come because they're there. And you've been doing a lot of training of your mind to support you in your healing process, and it's doing it. So how perfect. And of course, you've also in doing that training unleashed Rukka to support you on a new level and teach you. And my offering would be that the more deeply you let yourself just soften and breathe in and receive that support, the more deeply you'll be able to just let go of the whole anxiety thing and shift your mind over from fear to trust. Give it a new power supply. It's old power supply from the old world of experience and 1,000 generations of fear, as you shared, came from, you got really clear with your grandfather. That's the power supply you had been running on in unknown situations. And now you're shifting to a different power supply, and it's confidence and trust and here I am. I'm in God's care. Okay, cool.
That's
literally
really important.
That becomes, it's literally shifting your physiology back to what it was designed to be powered by, the presence of love instead of fear.
And the point you just made about in unknown situations, that's really important, because that is when I try to control everything. If I can just worry enough or whatever, plan enough, take precautions, blah, blah, not anything that's going to work. So surrendering to the realization that, hey, I am guided and protected at all times.
Yeah.
And
you've got Rook on your team. How much better
and
thing
so
I get if I can let it in?
Right.
But if I crunch and close off and anesthetize myself against it, it's still going to be there, but I'm not going to be aware of it. So, it sounds like you're opening to let it in. And, that's one of the core pivot points of the whole body of work we're doing.
Well, good.
Listen to your words and your energy around what you just said, and then listen to it in context of the writing you did and the expression that you got from your grandfather. Uh-huh. And there's the shift you've gone to a power supply based in your grandfather's rage and pain to a power supply based in love. It's like, wow. How cool is that?
You can feel that right now.
Yeah.
I can really feel
it. I'm with you.
I thought about grandfather the other day, and I think it was before he actually left to go for the study, and I said, well, Grandpa, we can do this together.
And bringing it into it.
Because you may remember the end of our interaction was that we agreed that we would walk through life together, hand in hand, and walk always with love.
How awesome. How sweet.
Mm. I think I'm going to call on him more because I really haven't that often since that writing. He's here and ready.
Sounds like it. And that means you're lifting the whole family system into a whole new way of functioning.
Yes. Wow.
The whole family system. Your dad, mom.
Yeah.
This
and all of this.
This right here. Yeah. This right here is what was called praying for the dearly departed in the ancient teachings. This work you're doing, that is praying for the dearly departed, being the space of love to bring that healing to the whole generational package.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is so much joy.
Mm, go for it. You might look up on YouTube. You might want to look up a song. It's called "You Can Relax Now."
Yes, one of my favorite songs.
Powerful, yeah, it's powerful.
One of my favorite. I have listened to it a number of times since
You had a dream. You misunderstood. You thought we were separate.
Yeah.
And the creator says, for now you hear my voice and you can relax now. Come on and open your eyes. See clearly now, I am with you. You are the love of my life. You are my own creation. And that will always be.
And that will always be.
Yeah.
I should play this song to myself every day.
I fully agree. That's a powerful message.
Actually, I think everyone would be good with that one, but those were certainly guided lyrics, weren't they?
Oh,
I mean, whoever,
so powerful.
Whoever,
so sweet the way she sings them.
Yes. Okay, wow.
And, of course,
wonderful.
The other song that goes hand in hand with that, you know, we've obviously sang in intensives when somebody's in the middle of their muddle, is the one that says, how could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than holy?
Yeah. That song came to me the night that Patrick passed and made his transition. And I swear we sang it together. And I definitely had this image of singing it to the baby Patrick. You know, the part of all of us, the young part that was hurt so early on. And now he gets to heal every bit of that.
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah, those are two beautiful people.
It's definitely time.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, thank you, Michael. terrific. I'm glad I
honored
glad I
and delighted.
Yeah. Thank you, me too.
Joining you in releasing everything that's been locked in bone.
Yes. Yes, bone and muscles.
Yeah.
And
fist,
nerves,
jaw.
And, yeah.
Got all of it. Time to let go.
Time to let go. Let go and be love.
Hey.
I had the reason. You've got to go pretty soon, don't you? I just wanted to share that it became so clear to me after doing some worksheets earlier that I have a choice to make in terms of my beliefs. I can, because, you know, one of my things as well as many others is to try to gain approval and therefore feel better about ourselves and myself. And the outcome of that is, trying to be perfect to gain approval is ridiculous,
right?
Because we can never, ever be perfect. So on my little chalkboard that I have right above my sink, I wrote, you have a choice. You can try to be a perfect doing or a perfect being.
Mm-hmm.
Dash love. So.
I'm with you.
I'm reminding you. Yeah. Okay, kiddo. Thank you. I will wish you a wonderful weekend.
Yeah. You can relax now.
I can relax and you can relax.
Yeah.
We can all relax. Lovely.
Okay. Come on and close your eyes and gently go into sleep when it's time and love it and enjoy it.
Yes.
Because you're
Let
safe.
Yes. Very good.
And
okay.
And be aware
mm-hmm.
that as you, with this conversation, as you tap into all of that, that there may be some healing crisis to come. There may be some memory surface from times when in sleep there was some sort of an assault that took place. And some of those memories may come up out of your physiology to be processed out. And if they do, just remember that you can relax now.
Mm-hmm.
See clearly and move through it.
I hadn't thought about anything of that nature. What I am aware of is the scary thought that I was given by my aunt to when I asked what does it mean to die, and her response was, "Oh, it's people just go to sleep and they don't wake up." And so my resistance to sleep has been resistance to being. Mm-hmm. And very very. Off base kind of thinking, like if I stay awake,
yeah.
then death can get me.
Right.
So I've been working with that.
So how about a quick mind shifter?
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's safe and healing for me to die.
Yeah. Okay.
And.
Okay, I can. Yeah.
And I may choose to heal instead.
Ooh, I like it.
Yay.
When you did the first part, I could feel stuff starting to move already. So
good. Perfect.
Okay. I'll do that.
All right, dear heart. You have a blessed one.
Lots
bless
of love.
You.
Lots
All
of
right.
love to you. Both.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Ms. Jeannie, seeing as how we had three people who had input on the picture, Manda and Nene and Audrey, let's go ahead
and
give each of them
and Linda
the
Westman
gift of
had
the prize.
Responded,
and
Linda Westman, I think she had responded
okay.
in the WhatsApp group.
Great. So let's give all four of them the prize.
Okay. All righty.
All right. All right, everybody. Everybody have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.